Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. After 8 o'clock, I will be taking your legal questions and legal calls. So if you have any questions about family law or criminal law or breach of contract or anything that you have on your mind, please give me a call. I'm here at 312-981-7200. Text 312-981-7200. And if you want to talk to me personally instead of on the air, I'm always available to talk during the week, 312-332-7800, or better yet, email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com. This week it was reported that Special Counsel Mueller does not consider President Trump to be a target in the investigation, but a subject. And we don't know if this is actually what happened, if this was a leak or if this was really true. But, and I don't want to talk about guilt or innocence. I don't want to talk about politics because I really want to stay away from that. But I really would like to talk about what it means to be a target and how an investigation is conducted. Here to talk about that with me is Damon Sharonis, who's one of the premier criminal defense lawyers in the city. Damon, welcome to the Karen Conti Show.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me.
You've been on the show numerous times. Damon has been involved in many high-profile cases, the mob secrets trials. You represented Rod Blagojevich, one of the lawyers in that case, and you've done a lot of high-profile federal criminal defense cases. So what does it mean to be a target of an FBI investigation?
So, there's three places you can usually fall into. The target is what it sounds like. A target means the government thinks that there is substantial evidence linking you to a crime. And certainly of the three places you can be, that's the last place you want to be because you're a putative defendant in a criminal case. And you can expect there's a good possibility at some point you're going to be indicted by a grand jury.
Okay.
And then there's a witness, right? And that's the best place to be because a witness is somebody who, for lack of a better example, is standing on a corner and sees a car go through a red light. He wasn't driving. He had nothing to do with it. He just saw it, and he can give information about that. And then there's a subject.
And what is the subject?
Subject, I find in my practice that the subject is kind of the hardest person to represent. Because if somebody comes in your office and they're a target, well, you know that there's a target on their back, and you know sort of the moves you need to make. If it's a witness, it's similar. But a subject is somebody who the government hasn't really decided whether or not they're a target or just a witness. So their activity is within the scope of the investigation. And, you know, when somebody comes into my office, my job is hopefully to convince the government that the client is not a target, but a witness. So a subject is still potentially a dangerous place to be because you certainly have not been given an all clear from the government that you're not going to be implicated in criminal activity.
So does the government have to be honest with you if you call them up and say, hey, is my guy a target? Can they lie and say no and they really are a target?
I think that's unlikely. Recently I had a case, obviously I can't talk about the specifics, but I would call up the government and ask for a non-target letter.
So, and what does that mean?
So what that is you can call up a prosecutor and say, look, the first question I have when somebody comes into my office and they're part of an investigation, if I can get in touch with the U.S. attorney, is you want to find out what the client's status is. And they won't always tell you, but you can say, look, if my client's a target, I kind of need to know. And if my client's not a target, I want a non-target letter. And what that is essentially a letter saying, at this point, the government does not have sufficient information to determine or believe that your client is involved in criminal activity. So it's essentially, for this moment, we do not have a target on their back. But the problem is that can change. As the investigation evolves, somebody can go from a non-target to a target as more information is brought to the surface or as the FBI continues their investigation. So a non-target letter is nice to have, but it's certainly not, you know, immunity, or it's not a forever pass that your client will never be implicated.
We're talking to Damon Sharonis, criminal defense lawyer in Chicago, about investigations and witnesses. Now, I want to talk a little bit about how an investigation works. We're kind of getting a little bit of what's going on with the Robert Mueller investigation, bits and pieces, but is it normally public knowledge what the FBI is doing as far as an investigation?
No, I mean, by the very nature of the types of criminal activity or alleged criminal activity that they're investigating, it can't be done out in the open. It can't be done for everybody to see. I mean, this is a little different because it's such a public thing that's going on. But the majority of investigations, you know, the target of an investigation may not even know he was a target until he's indicted. Now, that's not always the case. Sometimes the government sends out target letters to targets. But this is not supposed to be an open book necessarily. The government can act in secrecy. Grand jury proceedings are secret by nature. They're not supposed to be done in public. Defendants don't have the right to present their own evidence there. So no, it's not an open book when there's an investigation going on. And it shouldn't be.
Right. So how does this work? We all hear that the government will investigate and then they'll find some people who may have done some things wrong. And then they're kind of on the bottom of the food chain. And then they use those people to testify against the people who are higher up and may have done more serious things. Is that generally how it works?
That's, I mean, the lifeblood of a lot of criminal prosecutions. And the theory behind that is they want to go after everybody who's involved, but they want to go after the most culpable people or the most guilty people or the people who've affected society the greatest. And in order to do that, the best way to do that is to get somebody who is involved in that criminal activity to cooperate, a co-conspirator, somebody who has inside knowledge of what the real bad guy has done. So the government has a whole slew of things they can offer these low-level, and not always low-level. I mean, if you look at just thinking off the top of my head, you know, the John Gotti case, you know, Sammy Gravano killed 19 people, and he got a deal where he had to do a couple years in jail. The family secrets trial, Nick Calabrese, who was the main government's witness, killed 15 people, and he got a deal where he did 12 years. So, you know, it doesn't have to be low-level people, but in order to get the bigger fish, the government oftentimes has to offer things that they don't want to offer. You know, the government doesn't want to give murderers a pass or 10 years, but in order to get what they believe is sort of the higher justice, they have to offer things to low-level individuals or other people who are going to go after the big fish.
A lot of people have said that Mueller is outside the scope of what his focus should have been, and he's got these people, Manafort, who have been indicted, but not for anything really relating to the Russian election, nothing to do with Donald Trump, but having to do with committing crimes, allegedly, that violated financial laws and tax laws. So What is the limit on what an FBI investigator can charge?
Well, normally there is no limit, right? Normally investigations are just a regular investigation. I think you will hear almost every FBI agent you talk to or every prosecutor say, we go where the evidence takes us. In this case, it's a little bit different because there's a mandate specifically for a special prosecution, which is supposed to have the parameters of what the special prosecutor is supposed to look for. But, you know, there's been a motion to dismiss filed from Manafort regarding that. The problem is that's not like a constitutional right that's being attacked. It's in Department of Justice policy where they're saying, look, this is supposed to be the parameters. But from what I've read, the parameters are pretty large in this case. They're saying not only the Russian collusion, but other things that are related to it. So I think it's a complete losing argument for, you know, these people who have been charged to say the Department of Justice has gone over their mandate because it's an internal policy within the Department of Justice.
Now, again, without getting political and without, you know, making...
There's nothing political about this case,
no.
Karen, is there?
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
But what, just from a criminal defense lawyer's standpoint, and you've been through these cases, not these meaning the Russian influence in election cases.
Although the way things are going, I may get a call soon, right?
You might. You never know. But what do you glean from all this? Where is this investigation going? Do you have any ideas or gut feelings? And obviously, we're speculating because all of this is confidential except for the indictments that are coming down.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
That's the real answer. I mean, I don't even want to speculate. I mean, there's been so much. I mean, you Google this and there's a million different theories as to what's going to happen. I think that, you know, the prosecutor's mandate, he's going to follow it. Obviously, Mr. Mueller is a very well-trained, and I think he's got a lot of integrity, and I think he's going to go where the evidence takes him. Where that leads, I mean, who knows?
You know, Damon, I hear that, you know, the FBI is political and Mueller's political, and my feeling, having practiced a little bit in the criminal area in back in the day, that they really aren't very political. And the U.S. Attorney's Office, really, they go after Democrats and Republicans in the political corruption arena every single day of the week.
Well, I think especially the special prosecutor in this case is known for being apolitical. He really is. I mean, I think he was appointed initially with Bush, and then Obama kept him on
yes.
for 2 years. Everybody who talks about him says this is not a person who talks politics. At the end of the day, everybody probably has their political leanings, but you hope that what they're doing is following the evidence. And if a Democrat commits a crime, they're going to prosecute him. If it's a Republican, they're going to prosecute him. If it's a libertarian, whatever, you know, follow the evidence. And I think that it's easy for people who have political bents to say this is a witch hunt. But at the end of the day, if there's evidence showing that somebody broke the law, I don't think the FBI is going to charge or not charge them based on their political position or their political party.
Damon, we only have a minute left, but you're telling me on before you walked in that you're working on an interesting case. Can you quickly tell us what happened in that case?
I can't.
You can't?
No.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, I'm working on a wrong a client who was wrongfully convicted for a murder that he did not commit. He was released and exonerated and received a certificate of innocence.
How long did he serve?
30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a horrible story. A great man who went through a lot. And now he's out and reconnected with his family, and there's a civil suit that's pending, but we're working very hard for him, and it's a great story that maybe someday we can talk about more in detail.
I would like to do that. Yeah. I really would. Damon, if someone were to want to talk to you about a criminal matter, what is your contact information?
You know, my website's an easy place to find me. It's www.sharonislaw.com, and my phone number, 312-663-4644. Or the bat sign, I usually say as a joke. But I'm easy to find.
Damon, thank you so much for joining us. Damon Sharonis, one of the best criminal defense lawyers here in the city. And now we're going to be taking your legal calls after the news. I'm going to give out the numbers here, 312-981-7200.